This is From the Bench, the hands-on cut of the post, Which Agent Bricked Prod?
If you can't answer two questions from your authoritative logs, your security model is effectively fiction. 1. Whose authority is being exercised? 2. Which specific agent exercised it? For most engineering teams right now, the chain you can prove from the audit table almost never includes the agent.
If you need the governance translation, what this means for the audit committee, listen to the boardroom cut. This one is for the people writing the token exchange code. Marcus, you start the post by saying that identity is the control plane for AI. But as soon as we move from a single-tier app to a multi-hop agent, that control plane starts to fray. Where is the first place we lose the wire?
It usually starts at the front door. Most developers are using something like EasyAuth, app service authentication. It's convenient. You register the app in Entra, turn on the toggle, and suddenly you have injected headers like XMS token AAD access token.
Which feels like a win. You don't have to write the OIDC handshake.
Right. But the trap is thinking that ID token is a key. It's just a passport. To actually call a downstream API as the user, you need to use the access token and the token store. If you grab the ID token, or worse, just grab the UPN from a header and then mint a fresh app-only token for the backend, you've already silently dropped the user. You're now laundering their intent through a service account. And if that backend service is reachable on a public port without going through the front door easy off, those injected identity headers are trivially spoofable.
So we have the user's token. Now we need to talk to a second service, maybe a line of business API. You talk about two doors here, application permissions and on behalf of.
This is where the engineering discipline usually breaks. Door one is the client credentials grant. Your app uses its own secret or certificate. The token has a roles claim, not an SCP claim. There is no user in this token. I want to be clear, application permissions are fine for background jobs or a nightly indexer. The SIN is using them for a user-initiated action. If the downstream API sees the application ID, but not the user's OID, you can no longer do per-user rate limiting or ACL enforcement at the data layer. You're trusting the middle tier to be perfect.
Which is why we use OPO.
We try. We take the user's JWT and exchange it at the Entra token endpoint, using that long grant type string, earn-ietf-params-oauth-grant-type-jwt-bearer. We get back a new token where the audience is the downstream API, but the user's OID and TID, the object and tenant IDs, are still there. But OBO is hard. It requires pre-consented scopes. It requires audience handling. And the moment you hit a second hop, app A calls app B calls app C, the chain usually dies.
Why does it die at the second hop?
Two reasons. First, conditional access. If app C requires MFA, but app A didn't challenge for it, the OBO exchange in the middle fails with a claims challenge that the middle tier can't satisfy. Second, and this is the technical detail that kills people, if any tier in that chain uses a custom token signing key, the next hop can't validate the signature. Most teams hit that wall and just reach for a client secret. They flatten the identity.
You also make a distinction between Entra's OBO and the RFC 8693 token exchange standard.
Yeah, because they aren't the same. RFC 8693 defines an ACT claim, the actor. It's designed to show the chain, Alice via Agent X. Entra's OBO doesn't give you that ACT claim in the token. It gives you the user, and it gives you the immediate caller in the AZP or App ID claim. But if you have three agents in a row, the third API only sees the second agent and the original user. It has no idea the first agent ever existed. The actor chain is what the incident response team asks for first, and it's the first thing we throw away.
Even if we stay in the cloud, there's this concept you call trust drift.
This is the one that keeps me up. You consent to a scope, say calendars.read. At the time, the API you're calling is just a simple wrapper. 6 months later, that team adds an agentic backend. Now when you call that same API with the same scope, it fans out and talks to 10 other systems you never vetted. No Entra event fires. The scope didn't change, but the behavior behind it did. You authorized a connection, but you're now exposed to its future blast radius.
Let's go deeper. Eventually, an agent has to talk to on-prem Active Directory. We're moving from JWTs back to Kerberos.
This is where it gets really brittle. To do this right, you're looking at S4U to self and S4U to proxy. your service account has to be trusted for constrained delegation with protocol transition. It asks the KDC for a ticket to itself on behalf of the entry user, which requires the UPNs to be perfectly synced via EntroConnect, and then it proxies that into a ticket for the backend service.
That sounds like a lot of moving parts.
It is. And if you have protected users in AD or accounts marked cannot be delegated, this whole flow breaks by design. So what do teams do? They create one fat service account with a simple LDAP bind and broad permissions. They give the agent the password. Now, every single action the agent takes in the directory is attributed to that one service account. You've lost whose authority and which agent in one move.
What about KeyCloak? A lot of engineers are using it as a broker.
KeyCloak is great, but brokering adds a mapping layer where you can accidentally launder privilege. You map a narrow entry group to a broad KeyCloak realm role. Suddenly, the token KeyCloak issues to the legacy app is way more powerful than the user's original intent. If you don't configure token exchange specifically for delegation rather than impersonation, you're just widening the blast radius.
Let's talk about the platforms. Copilot Studio, Power Automate, the custom RAG stacks people are building. You have a very specific critique of how they handle data access.
The RAG ACL problem is a mess. When you ingest documents from SharePoint or Jira into a vector store like Azure AI Search, you're usually doing it with one broad crawler credential. You chunk the text, you embed it, you store it.
But the ACLs don't stay with the chunks?
Not natively. You can add a field for ACLs and do security trimming at query time, but those ACLs are a snapshot. They're stale the moment the indexer finishes. If I lose access to a document in SharePoint today, the AI search index doesn't know that until the next crawl. The only honest way to do it is a live recheck. You take the URI of the source document and check the user's permission against the source API every time the LLM wants to read a chunk.
That sounds expensive.
It's a performance nightmare. One query might hit 20 chunks. That's 20 SaaS round trips to Jira or Confluence just to see if the user can read what the bot found. Most people don't do it. They ship a flat index. And here's the kicker. Your privacy tools like Purview or Priva don't see that index. They can do a search against Exchange and SharePoint, but they won't find the PII sitting in your vector store. You've created a shadow copy of your data with no compliance oversight.
And then we give that agent a write permission.
Right. Usually via a personal access token or a shared connector. Take Jira as an example. Jira doesn't really do intra-OBO. You're usually looking at a shared connector app with a per-user refresh token. It feels like delegation, but the agent identity is just a platform-wide client ID. If Agent A and Agent B both use the same Jira connector, the Jira logs can't tell them apart.
And then we take this all the way down to the shop floor. OT, SCADA, Modbus. This is where the physical world starts moving.
This is the ultimate goal of the AI roadmap, connecting agents to the systems that actually make the company's margin. But the protocols at that tier, Modbus, OPC Classic, they weren't built for this. Modbus has zero authentication. OPC Classic rides on DCOM, which usually collapses to a single Windows identity for the whole integrator script.
So even if the agent is Alice, the factory sees service account under SCADA.
Exactly. And the trajectory is always the same. It starts read-only. Then it can open a maintenance ticket. Then, because it's so efficient, someone lets it adjust a batch parameter within a validated window. Each step is defensible, but you're putting an LLM-driven actor on the IT side of a chain that physically moves actuators, and you've given it a credential that can't be audited to a specific person.
You describe a bricked prod scenario in the post. Can you walk us through the engineering forensics of that failure?
It's a simple mistake with a long tail. A user asks an agent to tidy up stale tickets. The agent has a high-privileged PAT belonging to the person who built it. It starts closing tickets, and it closes one that was actually a manual hold on a database migration. The pipeline sees the ticket is closed, thinks the review is done, and pushes the change to prod.
And the migration is forward only.
Right. It locks the orders table, the site goes down, and the rollback fails. When the DBA goes into the Jira logs to see who lifted the hold, the author is the maker of the agent, not the person who asked the bot to tidy up. The entry logs show nothing because it was a PAT. The platform run ID wasn't propagated to the Jira comment. You have three different systems with three different clocks and no way to prove the chain of causality. You can guess, but you can't provide evidence.
that seems to be the core of your argument. If it's not in the logs, it's not an audit trail. Why hasn't this caused more outages yet?
Compartmentalization. Most of these agents are still toys or limited to one team. But the business case for agent to agent is too strong to ignore. The onboarding agent calling the payroll agent calling the IT agent.
And that's where the identity collapse becomes transitive.
Precisely. If Agent A calls Agent B, and neither carries a faithful actor chain, then Agent B's authority is the union of every connector it can reach. An attacker doesn't need a binary payload anymore. They just need to talk to the next agent over. Lateral movement becomes a polite rest call.
So for the engineers listening who have to deal with this on Monday, what is the bar for a production-ready agent?
It's a simple test. Pick a random write action in your production logs. If you can't answer whose authority and which agent within 5 minutes using only authoritative logs, no correlation based on, well, the timestamps are close, then you don't have an agent. You have a shared account with a chatbot bolted to it.
What's one concrete thing a dev or identity lead can do this week to start closing the gap?
Start by splitting your code paths. If an action is service-owned, use a service principle and log it as such. If it's user-initiated, force the OBO flow and hard fail if the SCP claim is missing. And if you're using Kerberos, go prune your SPN allow lists. Stop letting your service accounts impersonate any service. Constrain them to the specific backend they need. It's boring, it's manual, and it's the only thing that actually holds.
If you need to walk your governance team through any of this, the boardroom cut is the one to play. This is From the Bench. Marcus, thanks for the deep dive.
Anytime.